Good afternoon, fellow gooners, and welcome to another episode of Canon Amio's Morning. And my co-host, as usual, Aiden.
How's it, guys? Lots to discuss over this past few days. Lots happened. Let's get straight into it. FA Cup semi-final against Sheffield United. 98 days after the two teams... I mean, quarter-final, sorry. 98 days before the two teams were supposed to meet. You know, tough game, but we had the advantage of no crowd.
I mean, for me, it was quite interesting to see, you know, this new formation that Arteta's not trying to push on now, the 3-4-3. It actually seems to give our, you know, people like Kieran Tierney and to some degree, Maitland Niles, that was right back on the day, a bit more freedom to, you know, venture forward, plus the knowledge of having, you know, cover defenders in the back three of Mustafi, was that Kolasinac, and I forgot whether it was in the middle. Do you remember?
It was Luis.
Yeah. No, it's just sometimes you don't know if he's suspended or
or just in the back of your mind wishing he's not playing.
Yeah. So, Sheffield United take the lead, supposedly, after 8 minutes. But, I mean, it was called offside. I mean, I tell you, the minute that ball went in, I was just thinking, you know, like that meme you see on Twitter, like, here we go again.
Yes.
It's one of those days. But, I mean, the VAR ended up saving our backsides.
For once.
Yeah. So, but I mean, at the moment, Sheffield United were also just dominating the game, you know, filling up all the space on the pitch, really. You know, it was like making it very difficult to play short, intricate passes. And, you know, one guy that was really, I mean, it's something I forgot to tell you also one-on-one. But, you know, that McBurney?
McBurney, yes. Ollie McBurney.
Yeah. The way he, you know, besides the aerial threat he has, but I mean, the sort of strength just to hold the ball up for, you know, it's not like, you know, you're watching like a British Giroud, because I mean, he was all over the place making himself, you know, big, causing all sorts of problems for the defenders.
Yeah, and, you know, Sheffield United really gave us, you know, woke us up probably by the way they were coming at us. Like, you know, they were really on top of us the first half. It looked one-way traffic, like Arsenal were going to head off and get knocked out.
Yeah. And then eventually we do, you know, get the penalty in 24th minute. Like I said, being clipped in the box. I mean, there was no doubt about it. At best, I thought it was just outside the area. But I mean, you can see the full contact was in the box. Pepe then stepped up, planted the ball perfectly past Henderson in the Sheffield United goal. 1-0 Arsenal.
And he's starting to prove me wrong personally. You know, I've been having a go at him since we started. You know, paying 75 million for him. But no, spot kick he scored. But, you know, he adds to his tally once again.
Yeah. And with that goal also came the sort of, you know, freedom to finally play our brand of football, because Sheffield United, of course, had to, you know, adjust their tactics to kind of nullify us to some degree. But, I mean, Arsenal, and of course, were dominating. But fluffing the chances when the chances were there. And I mean, Henderson was also pulling some crazy saves as well.
Yeah, Henderson's a real talent. I think he probably could be deputy to De Gea should, you know, De Gea end up going to one of the Spanish clubs.
Yeah. And then second half, Sheffield United then, of course, coming out even stronger. And especially the, I think we did come out after the half, kind of playing, you know, passing football, dominating in patches. But it's almost like the latter parts of the second half, we started, you know, looking tired. I think Arteta was again, you know, getting slow again with the subs, when you could see we were, you know, that our tails were wagging a bit. And then the inevitable, of course, David McGoldrick manages. It was almost like watching Stoke all over again.
long
throw in, flick on, total confusion. Kolasinac ends up kicking the ball against Mustafi. And then the ball just loops to McGoldrick, who smashes the ball past Martinez, who, I mean, poor guy had no chance. 1-1.
Yeah. I mean, Martinez for me was, you know, has been doing really well in between the sticks, actually, surprisingly, after we slated him so much. It seems like whenever we speak about the player, they decide to prove us wrong. So, you know, unfortunate with that. And, you know, at that point, I'm thinking, oh, no, you know, I'll take maybe extra time because I'm thinking maybe Sheffield United will, you know, keep on coming at us.
Again, Arsenal somehow conjured up some sort of energy in the latter part of the game. And as we entered injury time, and this is something I also forgot to tell you or never told you. Pepe gets into the box and I'm thinking to myself, either lay off or shoot. And he's trying to get the ball as, you know, the Sheffield United defenders are just trying to crowd him up and then get that ball on his right foot. And of course, he tries to cut inside. He somehow stumbles with the ball. And of course, nobody really takes note of Danny Ceballos, who comes just bursting through, almost like just nicks the ball off Pepe. And then, you know, Cooley lines up the shot and then plants the ball past Henderson. I mean, it looked a bit soft, even like if you see that from behind the goal, but, you know, we'll take that goal. 2-1 off.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's good fighting spirit, and Ceballos is slowly starting to, you know, I don't know if he start, if Arteta has worked on his game, but he seems to be a bit more of an impact player and he's making quite a difference in the team. I mean, especially him being a partner next to Xhaka.
And I mean, I think what I also enjoy about his play is the, you know, that scrapping side that he has to his game where he's going not only for 50-50s, and at times getting clocked as well, but, you know, the way he's always scrapping, even standing up, he's trying to win that ball back, you know, but like when you play schoolyard football and you're trying to scrap for everything in the middle of the pitch. And that reminds me of that sort of performance that you do need, because I honestly wouldn't have seen a game like that where it's poised for Ozil to do something and somehow to conjure up something.
Yeah, I 100%. It seems like he just adds a bit more. Like, I wouldn't say he's the carbon copy, but he's more like in a Santi Cazorla mold. You know, that guy is not gonna, he's not a steely guy, but he's gonna put in a fight in the midfield battle. And for those of you who like stats, Arsenal now have qualified for the FA Cup semi-final for the 30th time. It's the joint most alongside Man United. So, you know, maybe we can use that, you know, to our advantage in the semi-finals. But, you know, it's a very tough draw that we got. I mean, it was the one team we probably all would have wanted to avoid it.
Yes, Man City on the 18th of July of all days.
On your birthday, I'm sure the universe gave you a good birthday gift. So let's hope it's not going to put your spirits down.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just keeping my fingers crossed because, look, you know, as much as we ever had a chuckle at this and knowing the sort of strength that Man City have, I just think it's a cup semi-final, and I mean, anything can happen because each team is gonna, you know, put all hands to the pump usually, and I mean, we on our way to winning the 2017 FA Cup final, we also had a tough route going along the way, so you know, there's no need to shy away. We might as well, you know, take the bull head on.
I actually watched that semi-final replay. I mean, not replay, but I re-watched the semi-final. But if you look at our squad, we actually still had a very, you know, all-round decent team. If you look at the players that was around, you had the Alexis Sanchez, who was a game winner for you. I think Ozil was playing a bit of a better game. And you had Aaron Ramsey as well. How we miss Aaron Ramsey, eh?
I mean, for me, that as well as, for me personally, Nacho Monreal.
Yeah.
I mean, when he really needed to turn up. I'm not saying he never did. But look, this was now a big game. And he, almost like when everybody else's heads were dropping at the time, he was the one that was just him and I think Giroud and even Oxlade-Chamberlain. They just kept on at City the whole time. And I think that is the sort of attitude, as well as, you know, Alexis as well. Because you needed that sort of mentality to drive you forward against a team, even like as a Man City, because I mean, they are like a real machine the way Pep drills them.
Yeah, and like we took that underdogs, you know, title to our advantage, because I mean, you know, we normally crumble under the pressure. But that being said, our last few matches against Man City doesn't paint me with any confidence for that semi final.
Yeah, I think it's like averaging 3 goals.
3 a game, yeah.
So let's draw attention now to the midweek game, Arsenal versus Norwich. This game did feel like a morale booster, personally. Because one of my friends still WhatsApp me, asked me like predictions for the game, because he was still thinking it's something like a 2-1, and I told him straight 4-0.
Oh, well done. I actually, you know, since you said I'm the betting guy, I actually bet on Arsenal to win by more than 2 goals. It was quite decent odds. So, you know, it was a good game, so like, you know, for Arsenal fans to just actually relax and kick your feet up, to be honest.
And I mean, look, it was also a slightly changed squad. And I think this is what some Arsenal fans have also been sometimes asking for with previous coaches, where you don't make, you know, 6 or 7 changes going from one game to another if you already came off, you know, say a solid victory.
I agree.
Well, I think he just took about 2 or 3 players out from, you know, the previous game. But other than that, it was quite a strong Arsenal side. And I mean, Norwich, the way the game, of course, kicked off, Norwich also caught us cold with that, I think, so midway in the first half, we Godfrey out of the blue. I think it was a game where we were still dominating to a degree. And then all of a sudden, he just pops up from defense and has a 25-yard rocket pass. Martinez and a deep post.
Yeah, it would have been very, you know, typical Arsenal to have conceded after, you know, dominating against the run of play. And I felt Martinez, once again, had a good game in goal, for my personal opinion.
Yeah, he was quite calm. Like, you know, a calming effect. Because, look, there was moments where Mustafi was being Mustafi. And, you know, where he would just panic and just randomly kick the ball. And because I don't know if you saw some of that back passes that he gives Martinez sometimes. And I'm thinking, Jesus, he's up on that. Because, I mean, it's so much power he's putting behind it. It's like the goalie is already having to backtrack somewhat. And if you're giving like a bobbling ball towards him, it's not a good thing.
Yeah, I mean, Mustafi, his passes aren't the most safest. I mean, we saw he's either underheats it or overheats it at times.
I mean, I think one thing was also a bit frustrating for me in the first half an hour or so. You know, the shots that we were having at Tim Krul were so tame. I mean, I think Lacazette had a few, you know, what I would just call iffy shots. And I think some, I don't know if it was Ceballos or something, they had a pop at goal. But, you know, nothing really to stretch the keeper. And Arsenal, you can see, we're also playing at the game of, since Tim Krul likes taking the extra touch of the ball, they were not trying to charge him at every opportunity. And then, of course, 33rd minute, Tim Krul then decides to do a Cruyff turn. But, of course, Aubameyang reads the whole situation and he, you know, charges the ball down and coolly slots the ball in. Arsenal 1-0 up.
It seems like Arsenal practice at the training, eh? It's the second goal since lockdown, where it's a similar type of thing in Ketia and now, you know, Aubameyang. So I don't know if it's one of Arsenal's secret tricks that we're trying to break the deadlock every time.
And I mean, you can actually see the edging, edge goes, as well as if you think of last season against Watford.
Yeah. Where
Ben Foster also wanted the ball across his body. And within no time, Aubameyang was there and he just put the foot out and the ball was shot against him. But yes, Arsenal, of course, started now, you know, going to overdrive. And before you could really catch your breath, 37th minute, a fantastic pass by David Luiz from our half. And I believe it was Kieran Tierney at court. And then he just played Aubameyang on the,
yeah,
on the run through. And I mean, Aubameyang, cool as a cucumber, cuts the ball back. And Xhaka comes in and smashes the ball past him. Cruel 2-0 Arsenal.
Sleek football from Arsenal with the build up to that goal. And you're thinking to yourself, you know, 2-0 already. Are there more to come? Or, you know, we've seen Arsenal throw away 2-goal leads before. So you know, we're very uncertain what was going to happen.
And I mean, what was actually a joy to watch, as you mentioned now prior, was Ceballos just pulling the strings throughout this, that, especially the first half. Because it seems every attacking move, or every, actually just any passing move, was always going through him.
Yeah, I know, I agree 100%. So it's almost like Arsenal have that kind of ball-playing midfielder now, and kind of Xhaka kind of being the henchman kind of guy who kind of protects him, even though, you know, he got in the score sheet. But, you know, it seems like that combination is, you know, a strange combination being it. Like, you know, I wouldn't have put those two as a midfield too, but for some reason they seem to be complementing each other.
But also with a back three now, like, you know, going 3-4-3, they actually look more comfortable or more stable as it. Look, of course, you're still going to have that the blackout moments where one of them maybe does a gaffe. But other than that, everybody is kind of covering for each other. You've got, whether it's Saka, Tierney, or Kolasinac, you've got that left side. For me personally, watching it, if you see the style of play also, it looks very, very strong and very solid as well. Because even if they get caught, there's always that sort of link-up play where they're either holding up the opponent on the right side of the pitch, or they all, kind of making those little traps that we all know Barcelona and Man City for. Then they're doing stuff like that. I think the only flaw for me, if you look at that formation, because somebody put up stats out the other day where all our attacks were coming on the left-hand side, and that Bellerin and Pepe at the time in that other game, not of course this game, but in the Sheffield United game, they were actually having less of an impact than what the sort of damage that, Maitland-Niles and Pepe, and even prior to that, Pepe and Bellerin, where the left side is actually doing way more damage than what the right is offering. And I think what was kind of frustrating for me was every time Bellerin was going forward, yes, he was beating that, I'm forgetting if it was now that Jamal, that left back of Norwich.
I know you're talking about, but I can't get his name.
He was like bombing down that flank, but every time he was getting ahead of the last man of Norwich, he just did not have an end product, and he was like either overheating or underheating the ball.
Oh yes, it seems like Bellerin is almost like how can I say, stagnating a bit at Arsenal.
I mean, as I said, you know what he's capable of, but with that sort of, it was a bad injury, but it's like all that with that injury came, that all that speed, which was his biggest asset, was not taken away, and it almost like now it exposes his weakness where, okay, he can't really distribute the ball.
Yeah, and I mean, like you said, his speed, the opposing wing back wouldn't maybe venture forward as much, because they knew if they lost Bellerin, he was gone.
So second half, Norwich didn't make 3 subs, which sort of did the trick, because Arsenal were, of course, more on the back foot, not because of relaxing, because you could see we were to play that game that we were doing in the first half, but the whole Norwich play at that time in the second half, they were really venturing forward now, taking that extra, the risk. Of course, we were trying to also lead them in a false sense of security, but at one point they were almost like swarming us, where we were just trying to get the ball out of our own half, because I remember at one point our defenders were just, literally belting the ball up the field, and we were actually just waiting for the next Norwich attack to come.
Yeah, it was quite scary. It looked like, and I said, 2-0 up, and you're thinking to yourself, is this going to be another one of those games? I mean, Norwich also did throw to us 2-2 the last time we met, so I had flashbacks of that as well. In that Watford game, we were 2 up, so when Norwich were coming, I think Martinez also made a very good save at one point to still keep it at 2-0.
Yeah, and then if we just think of it now, Norwich didn't go all out again, where they brought on even more attacking players the latter part of the game. Because, Norwich, of course, enough that they could sneak something. And, funny enough, that was almost like the sword that they eventually also fell on, because their substitute, that striker, Drinic, he was playing in defense as we were trying to, on the random attacks.
Yeah.
And, of course, he gives the ball to the... attempts to give the ball to the keeper, and it gets intercepted by Aubameyang. It was almost like the perfect assist, what you would call.
Yeah, and definitely.
You can see how Aubameyang takes the ball on, composes himself, and just coolly plants the ball past Tim Krul, 3-0 Arsenal.
I think game set and match at that point, and you're thinking, how many more? Or was Arsenal going to put the foot, on the brakes and just, play it out, since we will get to it. We have a big game on the weekend, but it seems like we still put the foot on the gas.
Yeah. And then, of course, Cedric had made his long-awaited debut in the 77th minute, and I think it took about a minute and a half, almost 2 minutes, and the ball then comes across from a corner. The ball's half cleared by Norwich, and he comes in, and with the left foot of all he comes in and smashes the ball. I think it takes a slight deflection and just takes the ball away from Tim Krul. 4-0 Arsenal.
And like you mentioned to me as well, and one of my friends as well, that, you know, he's a United supporter. He actually said that Cedric looked so dangerous when he came onto the field. He looked a beast.
Yeah, because, look, he's not really, stalling himself. Like, sometimes if you see Bellerin, if you don't see anybody in front of him, he'll kind of slow down. He'll almost like take the sting out of the game. Whereas, as you now mentioned, if you now, like with Cedric, he was just bombing down that line all the time.
Yeah.
You could see Norwich did not want to get involved in that sort of thing at that point in the game.
Yeah, so, 4-0 to the Gunners, you know, two good results after, not the best starts to the season, since the project restart. And, you know, we take the semi-final in our stride with the 3 points against Norwich, and we move on to Wolves, which is going to be a very tough game, in my opinion, going to the Molineux. I mean, you know, we have last season, I think we got undone there, if I'm not mistaken. And I think, you know, we need to be at our game. It's going to be a real test. If Arteta is going to go with formation, and, you know, if the side has improved from, you know, when we started and, you know, the beginning of the season as well.
And I mean, Wolves are really a team that from front to back, they can all hurt you. Because, I mean, you've got a goalkeeper that could also, belt in a few, assist-type passes. You've got that Bowley, who's probably one of their key players in defense.
Yeah.
Then in midfield, actually more attack. But, I mean, look, Moutinho is the one that's marshalling everything in midfield. And then and Neves as well. And then, of course, you've got up front, which is even scary because you've got, like, Jota, you've got Adama Traore, and then, of course, you've got the guy, Jimenez.
And for me, he does really well. He even pulls out wide a lot of the time. You know, so maybe it's an option that Arsenal could go for because, he doesn't have blistering pace, but he doesn't get stuck in the center of the park all the time. And so you could use him as a supporting striker because he likes playing in a two. So, I mean, that's possible options if, Aubameyang does decide to call it quits at the club. But, don't forget Ndonka as well. I find he's also quite a troublesome player for Wolves as well.
And, I mean, he's almost like, again, the all-around player, almost like the Sergio Roberto. I mean, he can play in defense. He can play in midfield. And, I mean, he can even play in a cam or number 10 role if you need him now to push way forward. But I'm just looking also at the other stats with regards to the Wolves team. I mean, between Jimenez, Jota, and Traore, they got like 25 goals between
them. So it's a very tricky affair, especially with if Traore has a crack at our defense. I mean, he has blistering pace, so we're going to have to be switched on. I mean, I don't know. David Luiz in this game could be a risk, especially if he loses his player because his first... it's like an instinct almost to start pulling the player down or hacking the player. So, I don't know. Do we start Luiz? Do we not start Luiz?
I mean, my take, immediately when I thought of this, offhand now, this is almost like the type of game where you must have somebody, I'm not saying you must do it now formation-wise, but they have somebody that plays like a sweeper just to, in case that long ball does beat you or your defense, at least somebody is a sort of safeguard that can protect your defense. Because I just, as you know, said now with the whole way that Wolves play, they will try eating it long to cause confusion in our team. And I mean, once a Traore or Jota, even when they off, or even like Jimenez, I mean, he looks so, bulky and that. I mean, solid built forward, an old school forward. Because sometimes when I look at him, he reminds me really of the Wolves legend, Steve Bull, who used to, used to just mow people down because of brute strength. But, I mean, you take Jimenez now, he's got that grace, he's got that skills, that, something to, like, if you look at his build, you will never say he's got that sort of finesse touch to his game or that sort of, the real bombastic aerial threat as well.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough test for Arsenal. I mean, for me, I'll take a draw. I know you're probably setting your sights on a win, but I think for me, I don't know if we could at the moment. I mean, you know, we've played a few tough games now. Okay, not saying Norwich was a tough game, but, you know, the Sheffield United game, we had to work our socks off for the win now, Norwich. And I think Wolves is going to be a real test for us. And, you know, if we come up on top, you know, well done. And I think, and weirdly enough, because of the results going on around us, top four suddenly seems, I'm not saying, you know, we must focus on it, but it's there in the background, you know, few runs of results together, teams above you slip up, you could have that chance for the top four.
And I mean, for me, to take on Wolves, if you think of who we still have to face in the league, it's actually, for me, a good tester for yourself to see how far you've actually gone, or how well this formation that Arteta's using is actually working now. Because, look, you couldn't really judge it with Norwich. That's why I said, look, you know, with all due respect to Norwich, but I just don't think you could have now really said, like, yeah, we're going to wipe the floor with anybody that come in our way with this formation. But now to see it now being used against a class team like Wolves, I think for me, that is where the interesting point is going to come, to see how they deal with our that 3-4-3 and how we deal with their sort of attacking flair and their you know, their dominance in midfield as well.
Yeah, but, you know, speaking about that, Arsenal, against Sheffield United, our result was quite the, you know, it's not the easiest of places to go to. And if you look what's happened to Spurs yesterday, you know, Sheffield United are not a team to be, you know, downplayed. And I mean, we got the result against there. But if we can get it against, you know, Wolves, beat Leicester, beat Tottenham, I know we're going too far ahead. But, like, you get results against these teams now, and suddenly you look forward to the season coming, I mean, with the new additions. But also you look at, you know, where could you be in the Premier League after 9 points against those three teams? And you don't know above you who drops points. You saw Chelsea as well dropping points to West Ham. I think United still needs to play Leicester as well. So there's a lot at stake for Arsenal. I just think that Brighton game could have sold us short if there's a game that comes to bite us.
You just took the words out of my mouth, because my mind is actually drifting. With features coming up, my mind wasn't even going forward to that. I was just thinking where we could have been now if we had now just sorted that Brighton game out and played with a bit more discipline and a bit more ruthlessness about ourselves.
I mean, even if you've, I know, draws, but even if you had to pick up a point at the end of it, you know, these points all, remember that season, was it in 2016, 2017, I think, when that Emre Can bicycle kick, you know, wanted for top four for Liverpool. I mean, look where they went from that point on, signed Salah, etc., etc. But those fine margins, you know, are where, you know, you look at your club and think, okay, you know, if we picked up points here, look where we would have been. So, you know, that could be a game that comes to bite us in the behind. And for me, one of the things I want to also discuss is, like, Mesut Ozil, you know, where is this guy going to fit in our team?
I mean, I don't know if you noticed also the last, could be 3-4 years, it's almost like the number 10 role, as you would say, per se, that is almost like a position that's almost like slowly died out, because everybody is now, you know, you're playing your midfield 3 or 4, whatever, but you've got somebody that plays like a cam, you've got somebody that plays like a defensive midfield, and you've got like your three, your other two in the middle that can also do the thing, carry the weight. But I think that the thing that Ozil lacks, or brings actually nothing to the squad, is that physicality that you also need to play as a unit. Because I looked the other day also at whether it's now, say, Liverpool or City, everybody does, not only they know their role, but everybody is willing to throw their body on the line. And that's the sort of players you want to, like, try to stock up in this team. Not, you know, I'm not trying to just make Ozil now a scapegoat, but there's many others where I find sometimes we can be pushing forward and really hurting teams. And then we'll rather stop, turn, and start running towards our own box, because the guys are ballsy enough to take the ball on and, you know, go on maybe a slalom run, or try to set up some sort of lofted pass, or go route one or something, just to keep the opponent guessing. But we got too many guys that are too cautious, and they'll rather lay off the ball, like with a 5-yard pass to somebody else, than watch and do themselves. And this is what they actually, I think that this is now what where you've given Seba is now the plaudits, because it's like he's asking for the ball, like, give it to me, I will show you what I want to do with it. And he's been like this sort of driving force, taking us forward, getting us in that sort of attacking positions, as well as now spreading the ball out wide so that the wingers or wing backs can like hurt the opponent.
I think he's given Arsenal a bit more free, or Arteta that bit more freedom now to squeeze in a third attacking wide man, like, you know, not having to worry about the middle of the park. We can actually do their job with it, like, you know, that 3-4-3 now can have three out and out attackers. Yes, they will have to work now and then to track back, but it allows Ceballos, I mean, Arteta to have that creativeness of Ceballos and the work ethic around those other guys. So, you know, I think Arsenal could have a, you know, maybe discussion with Madrid too. I know he said he wants to go back, but, you know, maybe things change now because, you know, Madrid are fighting for the title. They win the title. You know, they could be signing. You don't know who Madrid are going to sign in the summer. And where does that leave Ceballos? So I think Arsenal should try to, you know, work on him mentally as well. Tell him, you know, this is your spot in the team. And even though we could be signing more midfielders, we see you as a big part of the squad.
Yeah, you know, one thing whose game I think also benefits us now is when you think of Bukayo Saka, who's played left back, so he already over the time has now learned you know, the art of defending. And now when you almost like unleash him again forward to play as a winger, he now knows, look, I have to sometimes help, or I have to double up, or whatever. And that is what I think that what I've actually found fantastic, when you see that sort of link-up play between the two of them. That's like when him and Tierney are together, it looks lethal, because it reminds me really, or it gives me that type of memory trip to Ashley Cole and a young Gael Clichy coming through.
Yeah. No, that's definitely good. And it adds more competition there. And it also, you can kind of also, like they've been doing with Kolasinac and Tierney, where they're kind of playing them together. It kind of gives a defensive buffer as well. As well, they're lethal on attack. I mean, the two of them combined as well, you know, away trips as well. You have that security as well, because, you know, Saka can track back and he will work back. So, you know, there's lots to be excited about. It's just about, you know, executing and making sure we cut out our errors.
Because I also think, you know, if you can show, or sort of bringing that sort of stability back into the middle of the defense, I think that will be, it's almost like the crux of everything. You sort that out in the heart of the defense, and you maybe get somebody as well in midfield that you know, the role that we expected, say, somebody like Guendouzi to be in, or, you know, what we expect, say, regularly, on a regular basis now from Xhaka. You need somebody like that can just anchor that team in the middle of the park as well. So you kind of, you know, just take this thing out of the game when need be. Because I think that's going to be really beneficial to Arsenal. And I think attacking-wise, we are looking good. The only gripe I personally have is Lacazette at the moment. I think, you know, with all the chances he's getting, his mind just does not seem there. And I don't know if maybe he needs a challenge elsewhere, or, because, I mean, it's not like he's not getting the chances to prove himself. He's getting all the sorts of chances and, you know, the most possible time also on the field. And you just don't see anything. And I know at times I can be Nketiah's biggest critic, but at least you know you're going to get some sort of runner or, you know, holding up the ball or doing something a bit more than what Lacazette's been doing.
No, I 100% Lacazette, just like you said, seems, I don't know, he's also like stagnating at the club to an extent. So
for me, it's also tough to, you know, tell you this or tell our listeners this, but it's like he's one of my favorite players, because I mean, I like the way he strikes the ball left or right foot, but it's like everything looks, you know, like three or four steps behind everybody else in the team.
Yeah, and you know, Arteta, you can see it's falling out of favor slightly. I don't know, you know, how do you, I mean, even Pepe is now starting to, I'm not saying outshine him, but, you know, do the job. I mean, as a striker, I guess you can only hold up the ball so much, but the goals count. I mean, look at Giroud. I know he got slated a lot, but, you know, you look at him, he was there with the goals.
And I mean, you can see he's, it's something that we also witnessed somewhat just before the corona break also, where it's not like he's choking up the shot instead of, you know, that sort of, you know, that free range forward that we know him for, in his first season at Arsenal, where you knew, okay, when he has the goal beckoning, he knows he's going to bury it. Look at that. Like, if you think of that goal that he scored at the time against Liverpool, where Alisson was going for the ball, and that sort of striker instinct he had, where he takes the ball wide, almost like wider, and then glances up when he sees there's nobody in goal, and he just bends in a perfect curl, and you just don't see that sort of attitude in the play anymore, that sort of killer instinct that he has.
Yeah, I wonder if he's demotivated, you know, possibly not having the option of Champions League football and, you know, not winning as he maybe wanted to be or where he wants to be in his career. I mean, he came to Arsenal with big promise, Alexis Sanchez around him and co. And, you know, like his career at Arsenal now, what does he have to show for it at the moment?
Yeah, that's true. But let us rather just end of the podcast here. I hope you guys have a fantastic weekend. Enjoy the whole load of football coming up, whether it's Premier League or the German FA Cup that's coming up also the weekend, and I think a full range of La Liga games as well and Serie A. So I hope you guys have a fantastic weekend. Take care, guys. Bye.
Cheers, guys. Have a good one and enjoy the football.